You're listening to Dynamo's Dozen. Now let's welcome your host, Dean Dynamo Kelly.
Welcome to Dynamo's Dozen, the podcast that I bring you each and every single week, where I talk about whatever may be on my mind, from pro wrestling, sports, entertainment, music, movies, muesli, fresh socks and jocks, and everything in between, never forgetting the talc. Welcome to episode 100 of Dynamo's Dozen. We have finally got here. I want to thank each and every single one of you that have been with me from the very beginning, and also welcome everybody who came after. Your support has been overwhelming and truly humbling, to be honest. I didn't know if we were ever going to make it to episode 100, if I'm being 100% real. But here we are. I would like to, it's crazy. I'd like to thank all the guests that have been on the show. But first and foremost, I'd like to thank all the fans, pretty much worldwide. I thought this was just going to be an Irish podcast when we started out on this little venture. But to be honest with you, it's crazy. You know, some of the biggest support and biggest numbers that we get is in the United States. I want to say a big thank you to you guys in particular. We're as far out as Australia, Italy, you know, the Scandinavian countries, pretty much everywhere. And it's just been truly overwhelming, humbling. And I'm truly grateful to everybody that has tuned in to even a show and enjoyed it. Like I said, I want to thank all my guests over the years that have been here. There's been some really, really high profile guests that have taken the time out and helped me a lot and to get on the map. I want to really thank all of you guys from the bottom of my heart. In particular, the Knight family, who will be guests on this show coming up a little bit later on. But I want to thank also my co-host, Dara Maher, who's just one of the best, one of my favorite people on the planet. And, of course, my great sponsor, Niall Hogan. He's been a supporter since day one. A couple of honorable mentions to the guys that have really been there since day one. Joe, you know, you are. Carl. Been so many. I want to thank Peter Hart, logos, you know, Peter Hart Designs, unbelievable, the logos that he's made for this show and for the half dozen, and of course now for the four podmen, the continued support that I've gotten from a great team of people has been absolutely incredible. I might be the voice that you hear at the other end, but there's a lot of work that goes into the other side of things as well. So I really, really do want to thank each and everyone. But most importantly, like I say, I want to thank each and every one of you fans out there that actually listens to the show. I never knew whether I'd have two or three people listening. That would have been enough for me when we started out. But the fact that we've had the numbers that we've had has been truly, truly humbling and overwhelming. But this is not a goodbye speech. This is just the beginning. And I do have a very, very stacked show for episode 100. For the first time ever, I will talk to Bill Apter. That's right, the Bill Apter will be coming up momentarily. And of course, like I mentioned before, I will have Ricky and Soraya Knight. The Knight family will be on. They have been some of my biggest supporters from day one when I started this show. And they've done a lot for me personally and for this show. So what better guests to have on for like the 100th time with Ricky and Soraya Knight? So without further ado, guys, we're going to get straight into the action. I'm not going to babble on too much. I'm going to get you guys straight into the action. And coming up right now is my conversation with the legendary Bill Apter.
So I'm very, very pleased to welcome today's extremely special guest for the 100 episode. This has been in the works for quite a long time. The amazing Bill Apter. How are you doing, sir?
Well, thank you, and it's so great to be speaking with you and seeing you on the Skype waves, as they so we call it here. And I love Dublin; been there a few times, but I'm absolutely knocked out that I am the guest on your 100th broadcast. And I, you know, love your show, and I have been aspiring to be here. So now that you're 100, it makes you older than me.
Yeah.
But congratulations on this great milestone.
I really appreciate it, Bill. You're obviously one of my favorite people that's been around the wrestling business for a long time. Let's just get straight, just before we go anywhere, obviously you have an amazing book out, which is called Is Wrestling Fixed? I Didn't Know It Was Broken. It's still it's available everywhere. I mean, it's available on Audible if you like to listen to the book. But if you're old school like me and you like to read the physical product in your hand, it's still available on Amazon.
When you mentioned the Audible book, the story behind that is when I did the book, the ECW Press had a contract with Audible, and they called me and they said they're going to do the audiobook. I said, well, when do I show up in the studio? They said, oh, no, we have announcers. That I said, what?
Oh.
I said, I have a lot of people in the industry and the fans that have been following me for 50 years from my radio show back in the 70s through that, and I'm a broadcaster. Well, just in case you pop the letter P, I said, no, understand that I'm also a broadcaster. Yeah. You published my book. Well, we'll just have our guy call you. So the next day I got a call from some guy in California. Hi, my name is Michael, and I'm going to be doing your book. And I said, in my head, I said, no, you're not going to be doing my book. I said, I'm sure you'd be an excellent voice, but the people that follow me know what I sound like. And, you know, you might say the word kayfabe is kayfob or something. It's just too many. So he said, well, I can redo the book and you can do the quotes. I said, I don't think that's going to fly. So I called the publishing company and I said, unless I can voice the book, I don't want to have this done incorrectly. So I found a local studio here near Philadelphia, in the suburbs of Philadelphia. And we worked 5 to 6 hours a night for 4 nights. And the finish, we only had to do one retake because I mispronounced something. It wasn't kayfabe, but I forgot what it was. And luckily, it's done very well. It's 9 hours. But I also incorporate, when I'm talking about people like Bruno Sammartino or Dusty Rhodes or some of my other heroes, I incorporate I imitate their voices.
Sure.
So, yeah,
you got a good you got a good Dusty Rhodes. Have you got a good Dusty Rhodes?
Baby, you see in Ireland when the American Dream used to come there, I used to love to have the food because everything there was green. Even my hamburger, my McDonald's was green, if you will.
Oh, I love it.
All my little babies in Dublin, my white babies, black babies, Chinese babies, flocking around the American Dream, if you will.
That is 10 out of 10. The second most recognizable faith, only to Muhammad Ali.
If you will. Well, you know I do Ali, too. We did boxing magazines.
Sure.
I was very fortunate to travel with Ali for many years. If you go to the WWE website, you put in Bill Apter interviews Muhammad Ali, there's an interview with me about the Inoki fight with he and the legendary broadcaster Howard Cosell.
Sure.
He's the greatest of all time. I'm so pretty. I like your speed. I like your style. But your pay so cheap, I won't be back for a while.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant. Bill, actually, funny, you mentioned there being a broadcaster. A lot of people will know you, obviously, as a photographer and journalist, most infamously from Pro Wrestling Illustrated, but you actually are a great broadcaster in your own right, but also you do have a great broadcast voice as well. You're one of the, I'm not going to lie or blow smoke, but you were one of the reasons that I kind of got interested in kind of covering wrestling as well. So
thank you.
No, I mean that wholeheartedly. And you're in Philadelphia, you're a Flyers fan?
No, I'm a New Yorker.
Okay.
Living in Philadelphia. I love Philadelphia.
Yeah.
It's a great place, but we came here about 35 years ago from New York.
Yeah.
When the Pro Wrestling Illustrated magazine company had been sold to someone here.
Sure.
I live in the suburbs of Philadelphia, and again, I love it here. But I'm a New Yorker through and through still.
I got a sister that lives in New York now as well.
But my son Brandon Apter, if you look him up, he does. He is the most passionate Philadelphia fan of every team. It's a win or lose.
Yeah.
It's us. It's not them. It's us. And he does a podcast called Garbage to Gold.
Oh, which nice. You can
find. And he's the Philly fan. But I support all the teams here.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm a Magic's fan and a Flames fan in hockey. So they're my two.
All right. Now, did you say you lived in New York for a while?
No. My sister lives in New York.
Where?
Sister lives in New York. In the Hamptons.
Oh, Long Island. Way out.
She's married.
Beautiful area.
Yeah, she's married to...
Very wealthy people out there. What does she do?
She's married to a New Yorker, so they... I think they have their own, like, pet business or something out there.
Everyone out there has a very high-class dog.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's that, of course, is where Billy Joel and so many other people are from.
Yeah, it's a beautiful area. We were meant to go there this June, next month, actually, but obviously with COVID-19, that's derailed all those plans. But I will look forward to getting to New York, to your city, and paying homage to my good man Bill Apter when I get there.
Well, that sounds great. And same thing with Philly. I love Philadelphia. So
yeah.
They open their arms to me. The House of Hardcore.
Oh yes. Let's talk some wrestling, Bill. You've been around the wrestling business for 50 years. We won't get into unless you want to how you got started in the business.
Whatever you want to ask me.
Maybe that's a good idea, because you have a very interesting story. So to give people a little bit of a taste for the book, because I will obviously implore people to go out and buy the book. It's a great time to read it. It was a great time for me to read it during this lockdown. So give us a little taste, I guess, on how you got started in the world of pro wrestling. Obviously, your background was photography and broadcast and journalism. Yeah.
Well, I started off... As a wrestling fan. I was a very passionate wrestling fan when I was growing up. And there was a ruling in New York State that people 13 and under could not go into pro wrestling or boxing in New York State. It was considered too violent. So I watched it on TV, and I had all my favorites back then, Antonino Rocca, Cowboy Bob Ellis, Nature Boy, Buddy Rogers, the original Nature Boy.
Yeah.
And I caught on like any other fan. I'd stand in front of the mirror doing my own wrestling interviews with myself. I played both the broadcaster and the wrestler. And then back in the early 60s, I was at Sunnyside Garden Arena in Queens, New York. And there was a man selling a pro wrestling magazine. It was the first one I had ever seen. It was the first issue, called Wrestling Review. REVUE.
Sure.
And on the cover were Jerry and Eddie Graham, hated Graham brothers, and Antonino Rocca and several. And I bought that. And I think I bought two copies. I had begged my father for 50 cents, a dollar for two copies of that, so I could take all the pictures out, cut them out, and put them up on my wall as well. Most of the boys my age were putting Playboy pictures of my friends with them. Why do you have half-naked men in bathing suits? Well, they're my heroes. So, So I started collecting that. And then I started buying those magazines and buying pictures at a local store of wrestlers. And in high school, a friend of mine and I were so transfixed on the wrestling business, we put out our own newsletter. We only made 6 or 7 copies and gave them to friends at school. So fast forwarding, I wanted to be a wrestling broadcaster.
Okay, and that was smitten.
I was smitten.
Yeah.
So I started doing, I bought time on a local New York radio station and did a show called Inside Wrestling, the wrestling show for fans of pro wrestling, and now here's what's happening, baby. And that was my cash line, because that was my column.
It was your gimmick, name. Exactly. Yeah, you had your own.
My column name was Here's What's Happening, Baby.
Yeah.
So I was Stanley Weston, who was the publisher of the magazine, was very old school. He was born in the 30s probably, and baby was a big word, and he'd go, your column's name is Here's What's Happening, Baby. Yeah. Dig it, you know. So that started my my broadcasting. I'd go to my friends' houses, and one of them would imitate a wrestler, and I'd be the broadcaster, and we'd put it together with two reel-to-reel recorders. And then when I got to go, when I was illegal under 13, my father had a friend who snuck us into some wrestling shows, and I ran up to the ring and shot some pictures with a little Instamatic camera with film.
Yeah.
In case any of you don't know what film is, Google it.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing that used to be. And I kept doing that, and I sent some of the pictures as I got older to Stanley Weston, who was the owner and editor-in-chief of several boxing and wrestling magazines, The Wrestler and Inside Wrestling. And he saw that I had done some interviews in the locker room, and he said, how do you get in? And he called me on the phone. There was no cell phones back then.
Sure.
He called me on a real wired phone, and he invited me out to his office, which was in his house. And that put the key in the ignition. I started working 3 days a week filing photos that he had, huge file cabinets down in his basement of wrestling and boxing people. And I was the guy who took care of that. And I remember one day he said, how would you like to go out of town? And he arranged my first trip to Detroit through Al Costello, one of the fabulous Kangaroos. And that, like I said, put the key in the ignition, and the cliche of the day is the rest is history.
Sure. And it's funny, I kind of have your back, because many of your pictures were on my wall as that young man who wanted to be a wrestler, and opposite was the Playboy. So there you go.
Wow. Okay. Well, see, that's great. The amazing thing is, more so than the photos I shot or any columns that I wrote, the most important job that I had, that I made myself, after Mr. Weston had put me over to some of the people in the business, was that my relationship with the talent and the promoters is what made my career. It wasn't about any photos. It wasn't about anything I wrote.
Sure.
It was once you would, back then, the business was considered like the mafia. You don't get in unless somebody brings you in, you understand?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I was very fortunate to be the type of person that knew when to talk, when not to talk, when to listen, when not to listen. And the main thing of people today, when they ask me, why can't I do what you did, beside the business changing, was that the mantra that so many people don't go by today is, just don't piss anybody off. People go online who may be great writers and they're wrestling fans, but they'll piss somebody off.
Yeah.
Why do that if you want to? Hey, Seth Rollins, did you see that call? You, why did you call me, that I'm incompetent in the ring?
Yeah.
These guys are performers. They don't want to hear this.
Sure.
If you're going to say something negative, do it in a way that is constructive and where you're not picking on a person in a real wise guy type of way.
I got you. It's funny that you mentioned that, because I've been accused, obviously having been in the business, whatever, and understanding the ring work, the psychology of it. I've been accused of maybe picking on certain wrestlers like Joey Ryan, for example, for too long, but I never attack the individual. You know what I mean? I agree with that. If someone asks me, what's your problem with guy A or guy B, it's about the ring work, and it's about maybe the gimmick, maybe how it can be improved, but it's constructive. And I agree. I think that's the best way to do it, because 9 out of 10 times, and I'm sure you've had this before, if you're approached by said guy or said girl, they'll actually be happy to talk to you if you talk about it in a constructive way, rather than just being an ass about it, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. The performer in the person also has that personality, that they have this ego. Performers have egos, period, at the end.
Sure.
They want to be liked. Yep. They want to be said, you did a good job. And if you didn't do a good job, tell me why, but tell me in a nice way. This brings up the fact regarding the egos of back when I used to do the wrestling rankings in the magazine.
Sure, yeah.
Is that, and especially after we started doing the PWI 500, the personalities, the ugly personalities that came out of some of these guys, hey, you made me number four and you made that guy number three. I can't believe that, Bill. We've known each other forever, and I beat that guy 10 times. You know, but yeah. Sometimes I was afraid to go in the dressing rooms with copies of the magazines because there were guys that wanted to bite my head off for making them number four instead of number three.
Being being some of your, like, you are one of the very, very few, A, journalists, B, photographers, and three, just people in general, that was accepted into the wrestling business, as you say, into the inside when kayfabe was there, let's say behind the curtain, if you will.
Yeah.
If you will. Yeah. And
if you will, baby.
If you will, baby. Obviously, you've given an insight into how you made that work for yourself, but one of the things I guess I'd like to ask you is, out of the 50 years that you've had, who have you kind of, I suppose, formed friendships with, but like some of the best relationships that you've had with people, you know, and how they were forged?
Well, Bruno Sammartino,
sure,
it was very difficult to gain his trust because my boss, Stanley Weston, used to write stories that came out of here.
Yeah.
Sometimes he didn't talk to the wrestlers. And I remember he did a This Is Your Life biography on Bruno, and Bruno was very upset. And when he found out that I worked for Mr. Weston, a wall had developed. And I told him, I went back to Mr. Weston the next day.
Sure.
And he said, I can't believe that. That was an incredible story. I said, yeah, but you were talking about his personal life and his family in there and stuff that wasn't true.
Yeah.
So I told him that I want to go get in touch with Bruno and do a real interview. We didn't call it a shoot interview back then. I want to do a real interview, a Q&A, and he let me do that. And that opened the door with my relationship with Bruno, and from Bruno that went to other people. Bill Apter is okay, this
sure.
type of thing.
Sure.
Forged a wonderful friendship with him. Johnny Walker, Mr. Wrestling number two.
Yep.
His wife Olivia made all the ropes for Ric Flair, the Killer Bees, Greg Valentine. Whenever I went to Atlanta, I would check into a hotel. He'd come and pick me up to bring me to the arena. We were traveling buddies, and he never brought me back to the hotel. I had to stay with his wife, and his three children.
Okay.
Yeah, and he, to this day, he lives in Hawaii. We talk three or four times a year during the holidays. So very close with him. Al Snow.
Yeah.
Very close with him. Diamond Dallas Page. When WOW magazine collapsed and I was out of a job for the first time in the wrestling business ever.
Yeah.
Ever. It was my life. My phone went dead. One guy called me. It was DDP.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So very, very close relationship with him. So those are the people that that I'm really very close with. And today, you know, there are people in the WWE, a lot of the talent that I'm close with as well, and a lot of the people on the executive level as well.
And that's really cool to hear because, I mean, you know, you'll always hear about people like, you know, Bret Hart or someone like that who will have maybe something negative to say about someone like, you know, that's been around the wrestling business. You're one of the few guys that a Bret Hart or, you know, many of these talents can always say good things about and have a lot of respect for.
I like to hear that. Thank you very much. That's fabulous to hear.
Well, look, I know you're a busy man, so I know you're kind of stuck for time. But maybe just a couple of questions. That it's the 100th episode. I'm sure you won't mind answering.
No, not at all. Please.
In terms of
that's why I came in here.
Absolutely, and it's as I say, it's a privilege, and I'm very, very happy that you did. And you're looking good too, my friend. You're looking good.
Well, thank you.
You're looking good.
I'm looking pretty.
Pretty. Pretty.
Other than allergies, everything is good.
Well, we're social distancing here, so you can sneeze away. It's no problem.
We're about 6 million miles away from each other.
There we are. We're here, but we're not here. Exactly. Bill, I guess...
Can I tell you the one Irish joke I know?
Go for it.
No, actually, it's a UK joke. It's not an Irish
joke. Oh, well, that's even better. So let's go for that one.
Well, this bloke goes into a ball, right? and he sits down, he's got a cap on his head, yeah. and he drops his cap, and a dog comes and chews his cap. So I asked the bartender, he says, excuse me, whose dog is that? Bartender said, that's my dog, mate, why? Said, well, your dog just ate my hat. He said, yeah, what do you want me to do about it? He said, well, like some money for my hat. He says, really, is that your attitude? I said, yeah, that's your attitude. He said, I said, is that your attitude? He says, no, it's your attitude. Terrible joke.
They're the best jokes, though. They are the best jokes. It's like,
you know, my hero, my show business hero, not wrestling wise, was someone from England. His name was Anthony Newley.
Okay.
And you probably know him from Half a Pound of Tuppenny Rice, Half a Pound of Trinkle.
Sure.
That's the way the money goes. Pop goes the weasel.
Yeah.
But he came to New York with two incredible Broadway shows, and I was what we call today a mark for him.
Yeah.
Like, and I got to know him very well. But a lot of my heroes in the entertainment field, Tommy Steele, Anthony Newley, Roy Castle, they all came from England.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's the same. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I got a lot of my wrestling education in the UK. Football is obviously a big thing here. So even though Ireland and the UK, back in the day, were at loggerheads.
Oh, I know that it's, but, yeah.
But
yeah.
Now.
And I need to thank Alex Shane, Steve Linsky.
Good guy, Alex
Johnny
Shane,
Storm,
yeah.
Jody Fleisch,
yeah.
Mo Chacha, and all these people that became my family when I went over there.
Yeah.
You ask Johnny Storm next time you talk to him about my figure four leg lock. Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm going to get Johnny Storm on the show just for that. Just for that.
Johnny Storm.
Well, in my opinion, the greatest.
That's what he calls himself. That's what he calls himself. Johnny Storm.
Yeah, man. He's from London.
Ask him to sing his version of I Swear. We did karaoke together.
I Swear.
That was our song.
That's the.
By the moon and the stars in the sky.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
That's a great tune. It's a great tune. In my opinion, the greatest wrestler to ever lace a pair of boots pound for pound in the ring was the Dynamite Kid. Always say it in this, you know, on this show. That's my opinion. Always been somebody, as I say, we had a Dynamite Kid tribute show when he passed last year, and Harley Race actually came on to say a few words as well. And then obviously
Harley Race is one of my favorite.
Yeah,
he's another voice that you see when you mention these names. He's in a well, you know something, Dusty Rhodes, if you're gonna come and look for the NWA title, you've got to get through this very hard man. Yeah,
brilliant. Ian, I'd love to have a beer with you one day. Remember that's
him. That's
him. Yeah, he said that. He did a lot for me in this show actually. On two occasions when I reached out, him and his son, obviously Leland. So great people.
Well, when he was in the ring, I used to always joke with him, and he was a hard guy to joke with when he was. Even in the dressing room afterwards, but anytime I was up close shooting pictures of him, and the guy would have him in a arm lock or a headlock, that was his ring talk.
That's the Hulk Hogan one too, isn't it?
Who was
it's funny enough, I went through some magazines the other day from my vault. Some of them were the old WCW magazines, which obviously you were a credit to as well.
By the way, I just need to interrupt you for one other thing. The when we were talking about the people that I'm super close with in the business, Jerry the King Lawler was probably my closest friend.
One of the most.
Business, and how could I ignore that?
Would you agree? I think I had a conversation with someone recently. I've actually, funny enough, you say that. I went back and started studying a lot of old. Footage and tapes, I guess. Tapes in the business, as we call it. Remember tapes?
Yes. Yeah, of course I do.
Of course you do. Of course you do. Yes. But the kids today,
yes,
probably.
I'm looking around. My set. Here, this is. Here's some stuff that.
What have you got?
I have a collection of hundreds of these. The interviews that I did back in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
And if you go to onewrestlingvideo.com and put in Bill Apter Classic Interviews. They're all off of these.
OneWrestlingVideo.com. I'm gonna search that, and I'm gonna obviously implore people.
You should be subscribing. We have 30,000 subscribers to that. That's where all my interviews are housed. The number one, not the word.
If you subscribe to me, I'll subscribe to you, Bill.
You got a deal.
But one of the things I was gonna say to you there was a lot of the old WCW pictures. you'll always, in fact, guys, for all of you newbies that aren't familiar too much with Bill Apter, you will be now after this interview. Go and just check out any old pay-per-view photos. You will always see a picture of Bill there. Right, front and center.
Where's my bald spot in the back of the head?
Ah, you always look. You still look great, and that's the thing.
Thank you. Yeah.
But
you had another question. I'm sorry. Yeah, I needed to bring Jerry Lawler into the picture.
No. I was actually going to say sorry because it was a good segue. I believe Jerry Lawler is both. I believe in a lot of people's minds, Jerry Lawler is very underrated. I don't know why. I mean, old school guys like yourself and old school wrestlers, I talk to Magnum TA and he'll always say that Jerry Lawler is one of his favorites and people like that. Jerry Lawler is so underrated in today's world.
He is. He was one of the leaders in what became sports entertainment, not sure. Just with the Andy Kaufman piece that I helped bring that along.
You did.
The people, the monsters, the Frankensteins and the wolf, you know, they were more innovative down there, sure, to what the world was going to become. He's also got the best sense of humor of anyone. His sarcasm and his one-liners,
yeah,
are great. He's a big fan of Rodney Dangerfield, and that's in his DNA.
Yeah.
I'm in touch with Jerry a lot. And I just wanted to make sure I didn't slight him because he's one of my dearest friends.
Well, that's really, that's really cool to hear. Yeah, absolutely. That was what I was going to ask you. With all the work that you've done, and obviously you've done it everywhere, you could go south, you could go north, and obviously worked within, especially the two major promotions back in the 90s.
Sure.
What did you notice the key differences with, say, WCW and WWE when you were working for both? Because, and the only reason I ask is, when I look at photos, say, from 97, what a great period in wrestling, DX, Hart Foundation, just the pre-Attitude Era, I guess. And then you look at WCW, around the ring, it looked a lot more Japanese in WCW, where you had, it looked like all the young boys outside, but it was all photographers and whatnot.
Yes.
And WWE, it was similar, but not to the extent. What was some of the key differences there? What was the dynamics like with each company?
Well, the biggest difference was, you mentioned you saw all the Japanese photographers around the ring at WCW, and you saw them sometimes at WWE, but you rarely saw me around the ring at WWE or George Napolitano or...
Yeah.
WWE had their own magazine.
Yeah.
And they restricted... the photographers were not permitted to do that. So WCW was getting helped even more so, because if we needed a good action shot to go on the cover, when you're close to the ring, rather than being in a zoom position up, sure, by the hard camera, you're going to choose the picture that is closer.
Exactly.
But the dynamic back then was the way of the competitive edge between the two companies trying to outdo one another and look like they're not copying each other.
Sure.
Which is similar to what was happening with AEW and WWE, because no one has come along since WCW to provide the challenge of ratings, giving guys less of a schedule on the road and appearing on their shows. So yeah, this COVID thing, it would never be the right time for it to happen. Never.
No.
But in terms of the business for AEW, it was the worst time ever. Guys in WCW, I would have guys call me when WCW was winning the Monday Night Wars. I would have guys from WWE calling me and saying, do you know anybody there well enough where you could, you know, kind of find out if there might be an interest in me? My contract's coming up in a few months.
Sure.
Yeah, so I became a kind of in-between to both of them. But it was a situation where the WCW guys were working their butts off to be more innovative, where WWE had their success down, and I think they kept more with their success, and then when they figured when they were losing, they kicked off that Attitude Era, and there's never been an era like that in the entire business.
Sure.
And I don't know if there ever can be, because people will always try and imitate it.
That's the thing. It was very organic, because when you look at the stuff, as we mentioned, with the Hart Foundation and McMahon and stuff like that, that's really what kickstarted it. And you can't really script that, you know?
No, and Vince McMahon, I always said, since the battles with Stone Cold Steve Austin, was the best, I'm going to use magazine jargon here, was the best rule breaker I've ever seen.
Okay.
I've never seen anyone turn an audience hot and cold like he could. His facial expressions, you're fire. He's incredible.
Yes.
He's absolutely incredible.
Definitely.
There's never a better bad guy than him.
No, probably the best heel of all time, when you look at it realistically, more, you know, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, there's obviously only ever going to be one dirtiest player in the game, but...
You know what? That's McMahon.
Yeah.
if you look at what he did, first of all, he was the dirtiest player in the game when the territories were around and he was trying to formulate his business.
Art imitating life,
Well, taking guys from other territories, et cetera, wooing them with money. So I didn't like what he did back then.
Me neither.
But now when I look at what he did and how the performers in the business are earning livelihoods and that they never could have earned before back in the territory days, it came out okay.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. I guess one last question for you. Again, you're a man who's been around, you know, most people's lifetimes in this business.
I have a bad back from getting out of covered wagons.
Yeah. You were using snake oils back in the day.
That's right. Where do you think you got the snakes from? No, go ahead.
What was it? This is a good question, actually, because it's fairly, it's one that you'll probably have fun with. What's your
They've all been good.
Oh, I appreciate that, sir. What's been your favorite period over the course of the 50 years? What's your personal favorite?
When Georgia and Jim Crockett Promotions were at their height, Dusty, Nikita Koloff, the Road Warriors, Maganum DA.
Yeah, the two of them.
And Florida.
Yeah, Florida State
was at his peak as well. Although I was, you know, fine, you know, and made to feel at home for most of my career in the New York area, the southern region, that territory, and that was the first region to ever give me television exposure as well. I have a special place in my heart for that. For the Florida, Georgia, Carolina areas. Yeah.
It's funny because obviously I was a kid back then, but that's actually my favorite period of wrestling to watch personally. I was lucky enough, as I say, to kind of form a relationship with some of the guys. I had Nikita Koloff on the show there a couple of weeks ago.
What a sweetheart. I love him.
He's gentleman.
Actually, now we're going back.
Gentlemen.
I talked to him probably every 2 months. We are very close friends.
Awesome.
When he came to Philadelphia for a convention, maybe about 6 months, we went out and had dinner together. And although there were other wrestlers and fans in the diner where we went, near the old ECW arena, we stayed in a booth by ourselves and just discussed our family and our friends. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was so great to be with him. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a gentleman. Same with Magnum TA, another gentleman.
Yes, but he's one of my other great friends. You know, it's funny now that you're mentioning these names, these are people I stay in touch with regularly.
And it's good.
And he forged personal relationships with Tommy Rich back then,
But they're some of my favorite moments to watch as a fan. And I guess, like, I'm a lifelong wrestling fan. I'm 35, but you can see I was only a kid over there. Getting access to the stuff that was happening there in Ireland was very difficult at that time. But then, in the 90s, then was able to kind of manage to get my hands. I started reading your magazine. I think I was sending away for tapes all the time. You would send away for a tape, and it would arrive 3 months later, and you were like, "Oh
yeah." Did you ever see Lords of the Ring that Gordon Solie and I posted?
Yes.
It was the very first wrestling videotape ever.
Really?
Before WWF started with Coliseum Video, we did that first.
Wow. That's history right there, my friend.
That was another story.
Yeah, okay, I see what you did there. Well, listen, it's been a pleasure, Bill. I know you're a busy man today, so I really do appreciate you stopping by and helping me and my listeners celebrate our 100th episode.
Well, I'm glad to, and again, happy anniversary. I love the show. I will keep listening to the archive versions.
Perfect.
And I would love to do this again. And if I ever come to Ireland, you and I will get together and have. Well, I don't drink booze. I never liked it.
That's okay.
Just get me some good Irish. There's a drink here called sparkling ice that I love, but that you may not have.
I know the one.
Diet Coke on the rocks.
I'll get you whatever you want, and I'll drink for the two of us. That's no problem. But no, 100% would love to get you on again in a couple of months. Hopefully, when all this COVID stuff goes away, and we can do this again for sure. 100%.
You will. I just have to make sure that the check for this first one clears first.
That's no problem. Yeah. I'm still into the checks myself.
Wait a minute. Just came into my Venmo.
There we go.
Wow, you are doing well.
I just clicked the OK button by mistake.
That was it.
Bill.
Oh, that's it. Wait, the time here in Philadelphia is 10:29. I thought that was the amount you said.
Oh, okay. No, well, it's 15:29 here now, so maybe that's more.
Way, before we get off here,
yep.
What is your weather there?
Very. We are 18 degrees today. We're Celsius, I believe. You guys are Fahrenheit, right?
Fahrenheit.
Yeah,
yes,
we're Celsius. Here. So. But
it looks like you're looking at the WrestleMania sign when you turn that way.
Yeah, it's.
That's it.
I'm looking at, you know what I got? I got a Jesse Ventura signed boxed Classic Superstars figure signed. Won it in auction on eBay for $50.
That is great. 50. I want to say something before I leave.
Do. Say whatever you want.
Run the video version of this. You know, Becky?
Yeah.
Becky two belts.
Yeah.
One of the belts that you never came after is Cal Championship Office Wrestling. And my girl, if you want a shot at that belt, you have to come to Actors Alley and challenge me for it. And I can let you know that when you leave here, you might still be one belt or two belt, but three belts, the Cal belt, it ain't happening because you're not the man in Cal. I am.
There we are. Shots fired.
Feel free to run that on your video channel. And
100% shots are fired at Becky Lynch, and hopefully she will accept. And you're lucky enough to know that. We'll be talking to her brother later, so I'll make sure that she gets the message.
All right. Does her brother wrestle as well?
Her brother Richie. Shout out to Richie, one of my best friends in the world. Probably my best friend in the world. He doesn't wrestle anymore. He's a really, really talented artist, but he was a really, really good wrestler as well back in the day. You just asked Finn Balor.
To make this more interesting, I'm requesting that he manage me for that match.
Oh, so yes, I like it. You're going Vince McMahon
right
on this.
Philadelphia, PA. Come on, Becky, you know where I am.
And now that you've got your brother involved as well, I'm going to tell Richie you're going to be Bill Apter's manager.
That's it.
Bill,
it's
been an absolute pleasure. I really, really appreciate you taking the time today. And I hope you and your family
Thank
and
you.
Friends are staying safe over there. And
you too. And you can follow me on Twitter at @After1Wrestling. That's the number one. I'm on Facebook. And onewrestlingvideo.com are where all my interviews are stored.
And don't forget to go and buy the book as well. As I say, Is Wrestling Fixed? I didn't know it was broken, which is still available on Amazon, Audible.
Would you mind putting a little drama into that, into the name of the book?
Okay. What kind of drama do you want? Is wrestling...
I'll ask you.
Yeah.
Is wrestling fixed?
I didn't know it was broken.
We'll see you at the matches.
Over and out.
So that was the amazing Bill Apter. What a guy, what a gentleman. Really from the bottom of my heart, want to thank you, Bill, for coming on the show. It was a great conversation with you. The first of many, I hope. Bill is another guy who has really done so much in wrestling. One of the good reporters of wrestling. another great reporter of wrestling and one that I want to thank, surely from the bottom of my heart, for absolutely everything that he's done for myself and for this show is the great Finlay Martin. Finlay is a friend of the show and become a good friend as well to me. And for someone that I was reading his magazine from the age of maybe 12 years old, to be able to get the opportunity to speak with Finlay Martin as many times as I have over the years has been amazing. And we always have great banter. We always have great conversations. And I hope you guys enjoyed them. By the numbers, you definitely do enjoy them. So we're going to see a lot more of Finlay Martin on Dynamo's Dozen, hopefully, again. But yeah, from me to you, Finlay, I would just like to thank you for everything you've done. And now we are going to get into the final part of Dynamo's Dozen episode 100, where I do speak to good old friends, Ricky and Soraya Knight.
So here I am once again with my good friends, the Knight family. And guys, I just want to say, first of all, before we started, because I was just going to say it to you before we hit record anyway, I wanted to thank you guys, obviously, for everything you have done for me over the years, obviously with the podcast especially. So coming up to
that's you, cool. No worries, mate. We like you. That's a bonus.
Well,
it always helps.
I love you guys. Well, it definitely helps, especially because the last thing I want is an angry lady down the phone, especially a lady of your capabilities.
To be honest, I'm only being nice to you because I fancy a missus. So, you know, she's the one I sent the flowers to.
Yeah, this is true.
It is true.
But guys, it's great that you are able to be here. Obviously, as I said, it's coming up to the 100 episodes. So obviously you guys have been on many, many times. So I wanted to kind of reach out.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
We've reached a ton.
It's over now. It's all downhill from now.
Well, it's actually really good because you've just had a birthday message from the Queen of Wrestling.
This is
so
true.
So you've got your 100th episode anniversary speech from the Queen of British Wrestling. You know, congratulations, young man.
And I'll wait for the
I knight you.
I'll wait for the king to follow.
Look at that. Congratulations, mate.
There you go. You're an honorary knight.
There we go. I love it. Yeah. My surname begins with Kelly anyway, so my British surname can be Knight. Yeah, I'll take that.
Absolutely.
So that's you guys. Bill Apter decided to come in today as well, actually. So that's another one that I got a congratulations from Bill Apter of all people. So that's
Bill's fine, bless his heart.
Ah, yeah. Listen, there's good guys and bad guys out there. Bill's not one of the bad ones compared to some people.
No, there's a lot of good guys out there.
To be honest,
it's just the bad ones who get the publicity.
That's true.
The last time I saw Bill Apter, I was in the mountains of Canada.
Oh, nice.
Was it Canada? And I'm pretty sure it was so bleak that we thought the Julin Banjos would be there, and you know, it was bleak. It really was. And it was just a warehouse. There was a comic they sold all of this memorabilia, and Jake Roberts was there, and everybody was there, but there was only a road in and a road out. There was just nothing else. And it was snowing, and it was and somehow the dude managed to fight to get there. He was actually there. I think that was the last time I saw him.
Yeah.
But yeah, in the middle of beyond, in the middle of the mountains, in, you know, right back in the... I can't think where that was. Actually, it was America, not Canada. So yeah, that was the last time I saw him, bless his heart.
Somewhere rural, anyway.
It was America, and it was... I know that we had to, I flew into New York and we had to drive about 3 hours to get there and then cross over. So, you know, it was a bit of a trek. But yeah, that was the last time I saw Bill, bless his heart. He came up to me because he was getting selling a lot of his merchandise. He's really, really good at landmarks and dates and registrations and everything like that. He's really good at that. But he's also got some fantastic collector's merch, like insane amounts.
Yeah, you always get those guys. It seems to be the photographers, the likes of the Jim Cornettes and all these guys that are just really good with dates and collecting merch and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, Bill's got contacts to get into the good stuff, you know, and he's genuine friends with a lot of people. Like, people think that what he says sometimes is a little bit of crap, but it really isn't. You know, if it comes out of his mouth, he's done it, said it, been there, and vented the T-shirt. So,
Very true.
I like the bloke. He's a good guy.
Very true.
A good man.
And speaking of America, like, before all this, obviously this pandemic now, I suppose we'll start, that pandemic is kind of hitting the UK pretty bad at the moment, right? It's kind of, I mean, it's the same as Ireland. It's the same as Ireland. We're the same. We're in the same boat. It's just obviously UK.
Yeah, we're the same, mate.
It's one of those things. And before that, did you guys get to go over to the States much just beforehand?
Jill's been over for about 2.5 hours, to be fair.
Well, I was meant to go over for the Rise Shimmer, but obviously that got all cancelled and everything. So, I think it was the beginning of the year. It was the beginning of the year that I went. Yeah. I haven't talked really, because we've been in lockdown since March.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I done the December, January, I call it the odds and sods. So I wrapped that up in January, I haven't been across the water since. But it'd be nice when it's all over, you know, people want you, you'll be able to kind of, you know, get some money to your belt and get sorted out. So
yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. I mean, it's gonna be one of those things now where travel in general is pretty much gone for at least a year anyway. That's the way it's looking over here anyway.
But so all the days of imports, the shows is over for a year or two, to be honest.
Yeah, that's.
And I can't see any shows this year, which is very depressing. I can't see, shows this year.
Well, Progressive closed their doors for September. They just announced.
Yeah, so just it's a crazy situation at the moment. As I said, we've got gyms standing empty and everything. It's just our shops standing empty. And at the moment, we've got no income at all coming in, so it's crazy. And the amount of work, it's, in January, looking at the best year of WAW ever in our history.
Yeah.
And now it's one of the worst and the biggest losses we've made in history, so it's going to be pretty bad at the moment, to be honest. Yeah, not good.
One of the, I suppose I owe you a couple of favours. I might be ready by that stage. I'll just come over and return the favours.
You're always welcome over as the show, mate. You always,
bring your missus.
I'll bring your missus. Welcome home,
the missus. It's just whether we start this year or not. I can't, it's going to be hard. I mean, I said we can, we probably could do some behind the store stuff like we've done just before shutdown when we've done without audiences, but it's going to be tough for people to survive this, But, not just the wrestling, but the entertainment business in general,
In general.
You've got major positions and stuff, and, and actors and all that are all struggling. So that's the industry that's going to be the last one to come out of this lockdown. I just don't know how everyone's going to survive it. It's just crazy. The government's giving its best, but they can't pay forever, It's, the furlough and all that's got to stop at some time, so... Just how it's going to go on. I mean, we had the greatest of help. We've had a little bit, but, kept us going for a couple of months. But I don't know if we're going to keep us going for a year, So it's just desperate times, really, for the industry and everybody in the entertainment industry. So I feel sorry for all.
Yeah, it's one of those things, I think, where it's, and even when things do back open, it's never going to be the same again, It's with all the regulations and stuff that need to come in, and I guess just to be able to put, a general normal working day together, let alone, wrestling shows and everything else that goes with it. But look, you will come back. We'll try and talk about something positive. The last time I talked to you guys, obviously, was on the show was just after Fighting With My Family came out, actually.
That's right.
Obviously, that's done huge numbers now. I think it's on Netflix as well now.
It's been brilliant, and reception it's got all over the world. It's been fantastic, and the critics have been kind, the fans have been kind about it. It's, you can have a few minority, couldn't stand it, but as I said, a lot of the whole world when it's been around has took it really good. It's had a positive response, so it's really good.
Yeah, and it's actually funny because a couple of you know, everyday Joe Soaps that I know come up to me and say, "Oh, you know, did you see that film Fighting with My Family? It's very good." And I tell them, "Yeah, they're buddies of mine." They're like, "Yeah, sure, sure." Yeah, sure. I'm like, listen, go on.
They can stack eggs now, can't they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm delighted for you guys that obviously it was such a success, and obviously Paige herself is doing great now, kind of both, I guess, in wrestling as a personality, and also you know, in her own business as well. So it's a lot of great stuff has come out of that, you know.
Yeah, she's learned how to stream and do Twitch and she's doing games now.
Been in lockdown now about 9 weeks herself, so she needs to say she's learned all these different things and different businesses she started up during lockdown. So yeah, she's always going to have her business head on as our daughter, and she's doing really well, as you say, doing really great stuff, and her boyfriend Ronnie's doing great stuff with his band, so you know, he's positive for them, so except the lockdown, but they seem happy enough and contact him, and
Ronnie is one of the top streamers, if not the top streamer at the moment, like above everyone else. He's like really up there. And I know that Popular Monster has broken all records. So that was his latest song. And that's literally, I mean, when he done The Drug in Me and then he reimagined it, they were really good. But Popular Monster has done really well.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see Ronnie getting all positivity as well. Ray is getting the positivity as well. Or Paige, should I say. And, you know, they're in a real good little bubble at the minute. Nice, safe little bubble.
Good to see, and well-deserved, obviously, you know, with all the other bullshit that comes out, you know, on trolls online and stuff. People I don't pay attention to anyway, you know, that's just, don't even talk to them anymore. Although I did go on a bit of a rant the other day on one of the podcasts just about, you know, these kind of little creatures that sit behind the keyboard and
yes,
they like to use the terminology the business and talking about the business as if they were, you know, they ever even knew about it. But then again, that's just what you get with the way the business has gone, I guess. Like, does that bother you guys anymore, or do you just have you learned to just?
Well, the thing is, we talked about last night. The you know, when Ray was having a worse time with the trolls and stuff. You know, it was sort of terrifying at some stage because we thought we were going to lose her. You know, but over the years, you know, it's changed around a bit. She might get 1,000 messages, and in the old time that'd be 200 negative, but now there's 2 or 3 negative, and the fans seem to protect Ray now. They bounce all over these guys and hit them with so many replies, they get buried in the mess.
To be honest,
it's doing really good.
So I ate a troll, didn't I? 2 days ago? Yeah, I ate a troll for a mid-afternoon snack a couple of days ago. I wasn't horrible. I was sarcastic. Our great old British sarcasm.
Oh, yeah.
And it was in abundance. The whole thing was in abundance because Ray would put this picture up that she'd been slagged into cried for before. So she went, fuck, I'm going to put that up again. Don't make me feel bad. I like the way I look. You know, basically a big fuck you. Yeah. And like everyone was like saying how awesome it was. And there's thousands upon thousands of replies. And there's this one young girl. And I don't think she meant it in the cascade of abuse that she warranted from it. And I think if she could have removed the message, she would have, but it's about losing face. But she said something. I didn't take umbrage to it, but I gave her a glimpse into our daughter's world about what it's like for Raya, but cast her in Raya's role.
Gotcha.
And I gave her a little story and scenario that could happen if she follows the same path as our daughter.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was quite a long response. And I, at the end of it, I told her to have a nice day and I hope I clear up the situation and everything like this, because it's all about videos and photographs and God knows what else. And like everybody, there's been so many responses to it. Everybody responded to it. As soon as I'd done the sarcasm, everyone responded negatively. They picked up on her grammar, how she looked. They'd obviously gone on her site, ripped apart who she was with, you know, the photographs that was there. So this girl got absolutely annihilated and vilified by everyone else that was on that whole thread. And if you can imagine 2,000 odd comments, and there was only one negative made until the whole segment became a little bit of a grot fest at mudslinging at this girl. And really, at the end of it, I just wanted to grab this girl and go, look, okay, you made a mistake, you know, get over it. And I wanted to give a girl a cuddle, but you can't really, because you don't know who they are.
The problem is, people can't decipher the, you know, the page in Soraya, you know.
Yeah.
I say to people, you know, like, she gets real bad press because, like, she's not the anti-demon anymore, you know, she's progressed. They forget, well, she's the anti-demon, went to America as the anti-demon. She was 18.
Yeah.
Now she's now 27. She's a mature woman. Her lifestyle's changed and her appearance has changed. And she's not wrestling anymore. She doesn't have to be the anti-demon anymore. She can now be the new, you know, the new page, and the newer, you know. They wouldn't expect the Undertaker to be walking around the fucking town with his hat and his jacket on and sitting at dinner and eating like that. But that's how stupid they are. They take things so far, they think that Paige is a real character. They forget she's playing a role. And then when she goes home, she's Soraya, you know. And this is how stupid they are. They just can't decipher the difference between the two, and that's where the problems start, really, you know. They can't really imagine not being Paige and going home and having dinner with her boyfriend and doing the washing and hanging the washing out on the line and shit like that, you know. That's what I'll try and educate the two and say, look, you know, remember, it's the character she's playing. Get over it, you know.
Well, I think the problem that you have with a lot of wrestling fans is that it's a weekly episodic thing and it's just there. There's constant wrestling news in the paper, whereas say like an actor from a film can do a big movie and fuck off for a year and you don't think nothing of it. You know what I mean? You just think of the character in the movie, that's it. But I think the continuity of wrestling makes a lot of these guys and girls, and some of them are obviously a little bit mentally challenged at times, and I mean that with a... I mean that with all due respect to a lot of them, you know what I mean? That they can't actually decipher reality from fiction. And because they see it on their TV screen every week, they think Roman Reigns or Paige or Brock Lesnar is the real guy that you can see on TV. God forbid a video comes out of them taking a shit or something, you know?
As big as I say with Ms. Sarah as well, she... You know, at some point, actually, over there, Roy, she's still one of the biggest followed divas over there, even though she's not on TV much now.
Yeah.
You know, her social media and all is bigger than all the others. We're like this other day, Tyson Fury is world heavyweight champion, and he's got about 3.7 million, and Rhea's got 5.8 million.
There you go.
It's just, what we're saying is we personally just see her as Rhea, our daughter, you know, but she's such a big character out there, and I think she's, the mass following she got, and so quickly as well. They forget the time she was 18, and yes, some girls make mistakes. I mean, she's 18, moved to America, you know, was left home and found the fucking good life, you know, and the party bus and all the other fucking things that happened.
Yeah.
And she went through all that like any other person would, you know, and now she's come out the other side. She hasn't drunk for 2 years now. She don't party no more. She's, she's a vegan, she's settled down with her fella, and, you know, life's completely different for her now, and she's gone through what we've all gone through. As I said, when I was younger, 20, I'm completely an utterly different person to what I was when I was in my 20s. So people forget that, and they judge so quickly, and, you know, a lot of people forget what they're like when they're going through life, and older people forget what they were like when they were in their 20s, and that's what pisses me off, you know. I forget we all go through this some sort of crisis in our life.
Of course.
Whether it's early life crisis like I had when I was young, or a midlife crisis like some people get. And as you get older, even more crisis. And people forget that. You just don't judge people. Just, you know, let's just go, you know, we should be able to get on more, you know. But that's the way of the world at the moment, I'm afraid. It's pretty sad.
I think it's true. I was actually going to make a joke there saying it doesn't matter. At the weekends, I drink enough for her anyway, so she doesn't need to drink anymore. It's all good. It's only at the weekends now. It's one of those things. In terms of your daily routine now, guys, what's it like, obviously, because you have a lot of family living over there with you as well at the moment, Roy and whatnot. What's daily life like for you guys at the moment? Has the distancing over in the UK been kind of loosened up a little bit that you can see the grandkids and all that?
I think my husband's going to put me up for sale after this because I think he'd have had his fill.
To be honest, it's just such a boring routine. I mean, Zach, come and see me. But because I'm in the danger list because I've got diabetes, I've been ordered to stay in for 12 weeks anyway. So whatever happens, I can't go out. I can't even go out the front gate. So it's been really bad. I can't even go and do the exercise in the park, nothing. And it's the worst bit is, you know, your sons and knocking on the window and you can only talk for a window to them and stuff, you know. And the grandkids, you can't cuddle them and up in and just that's the worst bit because what we are, we're a close-knit family, you know. That's what we live for, our family. That's what we work for. That's what we're trying to achieve, to make our family have longevity and stuff. And at the moment, I said it's really, really tough for us to that side. I mean, financially, you can get through whatever happens, you can get through. You can always get a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
But you can't cuddle your family every day. And, you know, I'm at a stage in my life now where I miss that. But as I said, it's, you know, it's not very, I'm not very young now. You know,
grandchildren are put on the earth. I've got
children and great grandchildren. And, you know, you question mortality as well, because as I said, it's my age. And with the stuff I've got, if I did catch it, I would be in the shit, basically.
I got you, yeah. And,
it's on your mind all the time. I said, it's a boredom, really, as I said to my wife all the time. You know, you're not taxing your brain. My brain's all about being in the office, organising big events, writing storylines, getting excited about the storylines. As we said, as me and Zach were talking yesterday, everything we do is to the next big show or to the camp season starting or the next nightmare. Everything we do is built on using our brains and stuff. And at the moment, I'm just all brain dead. You know, I'm just watching old fucking westerns, reruns of V, and stuff, Judge Judy and stuff like that, and daytime TV, and everyone wants to book your funeral on there. Every animal needs a fiver. You know what I mean? Donkeys need helping. And every advert is so fucking depressing. You know, by the end of the day, you want to hang yourself. You know, it's just crazy. There's no positivity on the TV anymore. And as I said, and the biggest thing, you know, I'm a major sports fan. We haven't got a sports to watch.
That's so the problem.
I've seen a Dormeo flipping bed advert. The one that's on for 10 minutes at a time.
Fucking bed advert.
The Dormeo bed advert has got to be like the coronavirus curse, because I'm just so done with it. So done with it.
Lads, have you got to that stage yet where it's like that movie? Do you remember that movie with Robert De Niro and Billy Crystal, Analyze This? Do you remember that?
Yes.
Do you remember, do you remember when De Niro was crying at all the adverts? He's crying.
No, it's weird, actually, because it's been a long time since I've seen that.
Yeah.
If we saw it when it came out.
Yeah. It's just, I always remember that. It was like you get to a certain age, you start getting emotional at the adverts. That hasn't happened to me.
Yeah, that was the one. Isn't that the one, the psychiatrist?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah,
you did
watch it.
Yeah, I do remember now.
Yeah,
he gets you like that, doesn't he? Just, you know, because the adverts are so depressing. His ones, you know, a funeral, the next one, they want to cremate you. You know what I mean? Then they want you marching this poor donkey up the stairs with bent toes and that, and asking for a fiver there, and all these poor little kids in Africa with fucking flies all over them. It's like,
haven't we been raising money for them since like the 80s? Surely they could give some money to the donkeys.
You know, it's just do your head in, mate. It's just no. And the media is just so fucking negative. You know, you try and watch the daily press conference. It's the same spit questions, the same answers. And that will even bother you. You know, it's just crazy. You know, we know people are dying. We know that. We're fucking on. But give us some positive reasons. Just give us some of the people who recovered. Give us a daily recovery rate as well.
That's also true.
Rate, you know?
Yeah. That's also true. I think,
you know, so, okay, 400 people died in the UK today. You know, maybe 20,000 were sent home. You know, you just need to know. You know?
I think something I could recommend to you guys, if you haven't seen it, and it's actually inspired me a hell of a lot. If you watch, you have Netflix, yeah?
Yeah.
Netflix.
Yeah, we chat a lot.
Well, the new Michael Jordan documentary, Chicago Bulls documentary, is really good. Really good.
Yeah. You watched it just the flash new one, didn't you?
The Michael Jordan one is amazing because it actually gives you an insight just into how fucking professional and just dedicated this guy was. You know what I mean? No matter what sport it is, or, you know, obviously we all know it. You guys know it from a wrestling background, and when you see this guy with his teammates, and it's just it's really good stuff. I'd recommend that. I'm trying to just watch as much positive stuff as possible, because I'm like you. I think after about a week of looking at these daily press conferences, I went, fucking hell, this is just going to be the same thing over and over again, you know?
Well, yeah, there's no end to it. I mean, you know, as I said, they'll go, we need the government to give us money here, or the government give them like $1 billion, and it's not enough, and this is not enough, and then they go, forget, we've got to come out the other end, you know, once this is over, we've still got to have an economy, you know, I don't understand that, you know, all the way back to the big austerity, they'll be moaning again.
This is true.
Yeah. I just think everyone should come together, whether you like someone or not at the moment. We should all, as a country and as a world, just all come together and just try and fucking get rid of it. Instead of arguing and moaning and groaning all the
time. Don't make this political.
I'm not making it political,
no,
I'm just saying.
No, I'm not meaning you, I'm meaning the world. Don't make it political.
That's right, yeah.
It's about survival, it's not about politics.
No.
But actually, yeah. getting away.
I'll be looking at a desert island and you got five of you. And you all make it succeed. You got that one stand there all the time, moaning and fucking groaning and running on. And the four of you are all together. You've got the one person, you know, who's sticking out from moaning and groaning. By the end of it, you want to drown him. You know what I mean? And that's how I feel about. That's how I feel about the world at the moment. You know, just all stick together. You know, let's make judgment when this is over. Why judge like now? When this is over, we can sit down and say these mistakes are made. These mistakes, man. That's a brand new thing. No one's ever seen this before, so anyone can judge it, I don't know. So,
at least we've been given hindsight.
Yeah. But anyway, well, now we're not being positive.
So. Yeah, them poor fuckers and the bubonic plague didn't have Facebook.
It's
them bastards found out through word of mouth, and it was too late by then. They were dead.
This is true. This is true. Well, look, there is lots to be positive about, I guess, if we look at it on the bright side, is, and I think going back...
Becky being pregnant.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. We have another...
That's a huge positive. I'm buzzing for her.
Same here. I was actually talking to her brother last night. Obviously, I'm good friends with her brother, and I was just congratulating him on being an uncle, and we were kind of having a giggle saying, like, that's two Irish wrestlers that Seth Rollins has put out of action now. Seeing someone say that. For 9 months.
That's a lot.
Nah, no, 100%.
Well, at least they're getting it together. And I mean, Seth's a good guy. Seth does love her.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. I mean, it's funny because Richie was saying that he's really kind of liked by the family and stuff like that. And you know yourself, Irish families are very similar to British families. Once you're in, you're in. But sometimes it takes a little while to get in, you know?
Rebecca Dad's never forgotten what we done for her when a promoter over here dumped her and didn't have a return ticket. So it's lucky we were on the same show and we took her back home with us here, and then we got her on the flight the next day so that she could be with her family. But you know, her dad's never forgotten that. Bless him.
Well, no, she got injured. She come back, remember?
Yeah.
When she had to retire. She come to one of our shows, didn't she?
Yeah.
And she never wrestled like that again, did she?
No. No, she was there,
hostess. Yeah, so she's a lovely girl, you know.
A lot of gold.
Oh, there's nothing bad about her. No. I've never heard her slag no one. Mm. I've never heard her say a bad word, even if, you know, like, everything's up in the air and people are saying bad stuff about her. I've never heard her say a bad word against anybody.
No.
And,
no.
You know, I was saying the other day that I've got a friend that's the same, and I genuinely haven't heard her say anything negative about anybody, even the ones that are really going out to hurt her. She's never once done it. And probably Rebecca Knox is the only other person I can say that I can honestly say from how I found her, that she's a pure soul. She's a good Irish girl.
Straight.
Like a pure Irish girl.
Yeah.
She's got morals. She really has. She still gets shocked at things. Which I think is amazing, you know.
I
love the girl.
It's a good quality. All of her family's like that, you know what I mean? They're all good people.
Purity.
Yeah.
She's just a pure soul. And I could spend hours around Rebecca and I won't ever come away from her feeling negative. She's just a good person to have in your life. And I'm so, so pleased for her and Seth.
Yeah.
Like, so pleased.
It is, and that is something that's good. That's positive. That's good. I mean, as you say, that's what we're looking for, positive things. And it is, you're right, it is actually hard. I've even doing these podcasts over the last kind of month or two. I've even found it difficult as well when I'm trying to look for positive stuff, because you know you're talking to people that are in the same boat worldwide. You know what I mean? Same in the States. You know, worldwide, and it's very hard for them to find some positivity. So it is nice. That's one of the most positive things that can come out of all this now, for all of us, you know. And as far as the only other positive thing I know is that this is the 100th episode. I've got nothing else, guys.
We should not positive in 100 episodes, you know. Another positive thing, we're still alive. A lot of people aren't. That's very positive.
This is true.
To be honest, what I think the coronavirus has done is made a lot of people look at themselves and understand flaws. You know, just wanted to be a better person. I mean, the earth is healing, and I think people are healing. I think, you know, they're missing people that they didn't think they'd miss.
Yeah.
They're doing stuff they never thought they'd do. They're having to touch their brains in a different way. You know, I think us as a humanity have learned very, very valuable lessons.
Yeah.
People that have been false have been caught out. People that have lived lies have been caught out. You know, it's just... It's like a revival and a rebirth of the world and its oysters, you know. And I think it's a wonderful thing. I think the earth needed to stop for people to realise what the earth is about. And I don't think it will ever return how it was before. I really don't.
I agree with that.
You know, people are seeing such a difference in nature. That, I mean, I go up the park and I actually, it's like, oh my God, I can't even... think straight. The birds are singing. There's so many birds singing that it's like the dawn chorus at 100 decibels constantly.
Yeah.
But the birds don't stop singing now. And it's, I don't know. I just think it's a wonderful thing. And I think that sometimes people have to stop doing stuff to appreciate the stuff they do.
It's true. Yeah, you know. It's true, because and it's like Ricky was saying a little while ago there, you know, about not seeing the grandkids and whatnot. I think this will be, you know, something that can help people have a different outlook on life when this is all said and done, you know, and appreciate the appreciate the simple things that we've taken for granted for way too long, you know. Takes us back, I guess, to just basic human morals and kind of appreciating what we have. I fully agree with that. I think it's very true. It's kind of nature's way of putting us back in our place almost, you know.
I think nature and the world has found her inner peace, and I think there's a lot of people out there that have too.
When this going on, it doesn't matter if you've got millions or you've got a tenner, we're all in the same boat. You know, that's where the world evens up, mate. You know, as I said, a lot of the rich people can't meet the pop stars, and they're stuck indoors. You know, we're all stuck indoors together. So,
true.
And it's the little things in life we miss. You know, the little things we miss. As I say, it's just getting up, going to my office in the morning is one of the biggest misses. You know, you just take for granted every day. You know, and just popping to see the grandkids, or the grandkids popping to see us. So, yeah, I think the whole world's going to change, hopefully, in their attitude and stuff. And I know that certainly made me think, since I've been locked down, life's all about, you know. Like, I'm definitely 100% going to do whatever I can now to go and see my daughter in America. I haven't done it so far. But I'm going to break, you know, I'm going to get lawyers and everything to try and get me through the embassy so I can go and visit her. I just want to visit her now, you know. This has made me realise I need to see my daughter. I need to see where she lives. I need to see that.
We're going to America.
Whatever it takes, you know, lawyers, if I have to, I'm going to see my daughter. And that's, you know, that's one thing I probably wouldn't have done before this all happened, you know. So, yeah, there's a lot of things in life we need to do that we put off, but now you realise you've got to do it while you can, otherwise you might never do it, you know.
Well, this is true, yeah, 100%. And that's a nice kind of goal to kind of aim to achieve, do you know what I mean? You're not asking for too much other than getting yourself over to the States for a little while, you know. It's not asking for $1 million or $1 million, you know what I mean? It's probably worth that to you.
Just got on that plane to LA, spent 2 weeks with my daughter, that's the goal.
That's what we're gonna do, we're gonna go on holiday for the first time ever. That doesn't involve wrestling.
Yeah. I'm sure it might.
It probably will do. People know that we're over there. They'll book us. That's the thing.
Yeah, I want to book me.
If you get over there, I can get you bookings. So don't even go there. I'll absolutely get you bookings.
From the movie, a lot of people want to give you interviews.
Mate, you heard that. You heard that, right? Ricky Knight will be touring America.
It's recorded.
With his wife.
It's recorded, yeah. Right? I'm going to set up a campaign as soon as you're gone now, for sure.
Oh, you can't go back on it now?
Yeah.
I'll arrange it now, and you can't turn around and go
back. I can't now, because you know.
And the thing is, we've got a really, really close friend in Australia. I absolutely adore the bloke. And if Ricky's going on the way that he's going, we're pretty sure.
No, I'm not Australia.
He's saying definitely not Australia. He could have been Australia, but maybe.
36 hours.
It's not. If you broke down.
Oh, no, it's still 12 hours. I'm whatever.
Oh, stop. We'd be fine.
No.
You got me. How could you?
No, I'll just do one goal at a time, please. Thank you.
Well, we'll do America, then we'll do Australia. We'd have to do both at the same time.
Let's see.
Baby steps.
Yeah.
No, it's usually dragging.
Yeah. Yeah, enough.
That's
get me on a plate, wrestling Europe, let alone anywhere else. Yeah.
We've got to get you.
Is not my favourite thing.
We'll get you over to Ireland, Ricky, that's for sure. We get you over to Ireland, that's only a short way.
Jump over there, mate.
Well, let's get to Ireland for Oric. We used to go by the ferry, though. So.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
That's a rough old ferry, you know. Yeah.
We can drink on it.
Come over, you know. I mean, it's at December time for Nathan, but I got called off. So, but I was looking forward to come over because I was going to see you there. Hopefully, you know. So that didn't materialise in the end. So.
I wish you luck.
Nathan Hoy.
When this is all said and done, would definitely be. I mean, I would have been over this summer anyways, you know. But obviously, we can't do shit now. So, but that's 100%. We have flights there ready to roll anyway because we couldn't go to New York this summer, obviously with the pandemic for a wedding. So, we have flights there. So literally, flights are done. So as soon as this is over, we can head over anytime, you know. And that's definitely in the plans. But listen, guys, thanks again for taking the time to come on.
You're welcome, mate.
Great to hear from you.
No worries, mate.
It's great to hear from you, as always.
Okay, well, again, congratulations on your 100th, mate.
Yeah, I'm scoring your ton. Look at you go.
Hey-o. Thanks, guys. It's been no, I really mean it, obviously, from the bottom of my heart. You guys have done a lot for us over the last couple of years. So, you know, especially when I was starting this off, Ricky, you come on first and obviously gave me a dig out to help us out. So.
I'm glad it's going well, mate. You stay safe, buddy.
You guys, stay safe.
Keep safe, man.
You too, guys. Listen, love yous, and we will see each other very soon for sure.
Okay, mate. Bless your heart. Take care, mate.
Be safe.
You too, guys.
Don't do drugs. don't go in people's bands when they ask to see their puppies, unless it's a very buxom blonde that really has got puppies.
Oh, then it's a different story, yeah.
Hey, follow the rules.
I'll
speak to you later.
Take it easy, guys. Bye-bye.
Yeah,
bye.
Bye.
Well, guys and gals, that brings an end to episode 100 of Dynamo's Dozen. I hope you've all enjoyed the show. I know it was a very fun show to put together. Knowing how to get the right balance for episode 100 is always a little bit difficult, I'm sure, for other people. So I'm happy with the way it's turned out. I hope you are happy with the way that it turned out. And like I said, this isn't goodbye. This isn't the end. This is only the beginning. And next week, of course, we will have more shows as well. So that is it for episode 100 of Dynamo's Dozen. Once again, thank you to each and every one of you out there who has ever listened to the show, who's ever told a friend about the show, who has supported the show from day one, who is a new supporter of the show, to even the haters of the show. Thank you all. You inspire me each and every single week to bring this show to you. And I'm not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere. Stay safe. Follow the rules. Dynamo is over and out.